So first of all, we're going to hear from Rosemary now, and she'll be followed by Margaret.
Sometimes I wonder what my life would have been like without my Christian faith. To be honest, I find it hard to imagine. My parents were both Christians, but were not regular churchgoers. But my brother, sister and I were all sent to Sunday school from the age of 3. There I learnt the usual Bible stories, choruses and hymns. However, it wasn't until I was 15 that I realised that knowing about God and Jesus was not the same as knowing them. That being a Christian meant engaging my heart with God, not just my brain. At the time, I thought it was just by chance that I was invited to make up the numbers on a trip that my brother was going on with the youth fellowship from our church to a beach mission at Sheringham in Norfolk. With the benefit of hindsight, I see that it was part of God's plan to develop my relationship with him. On the trip, I encountered a type of preaching of the gospel which I'd not come across before. Direct, challenging, and one which demanded a response from me. I did respond, and I remember returning home, feeling that something in me had changed. That I was, as the song says, a new creation. That was, of course, only the beginning. Over the years since then, I've had many other experiences which have deepened and developed and challenged my faith. Some have been good and inspiring, others have been bad and painful. But what have I learned from these? I think the most important thing is that I should pray before I act. Then, that even in the darkest, deepest pit of depression, grief or despair, God is there. But I need to let him in and not shut him out. Also, that God wants the best for me and loves me. But I have got to play my part by taking care of myself. And perhaps another important thing is that worrying does no good whatsoever. And that sometimes all I can do is trust in God and believe him when he says, "Be still and know that I am God."
Thank you, Rosemary. Now, Margaret's going to come and tell us about one particular time when she was very sure of God's presence there with her.
I'm much more of a new Christian. And this incident I'm going to tell you about happened, but I realised afterwards that the Lord was with me. When he was a baby, my youngest grandson developed asthma. The attacks varied from wheezing to frightening episodes of full-blown attacks when he would be gasping for breath, his little face would be black with the effort of breathing. He was hospitalized where he was stabilized but needed to have a mask and attachments with him all the time because he was too small for the usual inhalers. One weekday, I was looking after him in Winchmore Hill at my home where I lived then. Most of you will know where that is. It's about 3 or 4 miles away from here, near Palmer's Green, that way. And his home was, I suppose, 1 or 2 miles that way from here, up in Hilly Fields, near Clay Hill. I looked after him during the day and took him back to his home as arranged during the afternoon, and he was fine, all was okay. But later, in the early evening, he started to wheeze. But we couldn't find the mask and the attachments anywhere. I must have left them at my house. Horror and panic, of course. But by now, it was 5:30 in the evening, and a full-on rush hour, gridlocking the roads coming out of London, as it does every weekday. Well, I set off in the car. I had no problem driving back to my home in Winchmore Hill against the traffic. But I remembered thinking, particularly as I drove along here, actually, how am I going to get back with the mask and everything he needed in time before he develops these very threatening attacks? Because I could see quite clearly the way back again was completely blocked. I rushed into my house, dug around, found the mask and the bits, jumped back into the car. But now here I've got a problem, because I haven't got the words to explain what happened next. Most of you will know the way across from Winchmore Hill through Grange Park, Old Park Ridings, and across Windmill Hill, bottom of the town, along here, Lancaster Road, Browning Road, and so on, right up to Clay Hill. But it's very difficult for me to describe that journey. All I can say is that all that traffic, I've put here, melted. It's not right. The traffic disappeared. There were no cars there. There was no traffic. And each traffic light was green. I got back in record time, and Aliki is now a fine and lively little boy. Some of you have met him, I think, at the Christmas bazaar. Thank you for listening.
Right, thank you very much. Now Pamela and David are going to come and read a Bible reading, which is from different verses in different parts of the Bible, but on the theme that we're thinking about today.
Living life God's way.
Show me the path where I should go, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to walk.
Moses talked there with the Lord and said to him, "You say that I have found favour before you. Please, if this is really so, guide me clearly along the way you want me to travel, so that I will understand you and walk acceptably before you." And the Lord replied, "I myself will go with you and give you success."
God will teach you the ways that are right and best to those who humbly turn to him. Those who obey the Lord will learn from him the path that they should follow.
Trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success.
You, God, will show me the path that leads to life. You have let me experience the joys of life and the exquisite pleasures of your eternal presence.
I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress.
The Lord will make you go through hard times, but he himself will be there to teach you, and you will not have to search for him anymore. If you wander off the road to the right or the left, you will hear his voice behind you saying, "Here is the road, follow it."
I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you and I care for you. I will carry you along and be your saviour.
Give your burdens to the Lord. He will carry them. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall.
For this great God is our God, forever and ever. He will lead us for all time to come. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. And all of those verses remind us about God's presence with us as we travel through life and God's guidance and plans for us. And now Pam's going to come and tell us something more about God's guidance and plans for her.
I think for those of you who sort of follow Formula One, you would have sort of been aware of the trials and tribulations of the British driver Lewis Hamilton. And the other day I sort of looked on the internet and someone cheekily said, well, why does he wear a T-shirt that says, why always me? Why am I getting all the bad luck in Formula One, in racing? And when I thought about it, I laughed. And then I thought, you know, I actually had my own why me experience not so long ago. And when I thought about it, you know, it's almost 12 months to the day when God had to take me by the hand and showed me the plans he had for my life. I may have shared with you some, you know, with some of you, about 12 months ago, I was told by my employer there's going to be a reorganization and you might have to be made redundant. And it was an upsetting sort of thought, not the right thing, not a right sort of message to get just after you come back from your summer holidays and you're feeling really great. And it was more upsetting because of the circumstances round it. Anyway, it was unpleasant sometimes. And finally, at the end of last year, yeah, I was made redundant. And I thought, wow, why me, Lord? You know, I was planning to retire, but couldn't we just wait a little longer? And I thought, okay, I'll try to be positive about it. And I thought, well, yeah, right, okay, here's a good time to, you know, I'm ready for retirement, here's a good time to spend more time with friends and family. And I went to Singapore and, you know, spent time with my friends and family. You know, but it there was still no way getting over the fact that I was redundant. Not wanted. And I remember when I was there in Singapore, it was Chinese New Year, and we had, you know, friends, we had a gathering, we had a party. And a friend of mine, you know, we were talking, and she was saying, oh, yeah, I just got a promotion. And there I was standing at the site thinking, gosh, at 57, my friend just got promoted. And at 57, I've just got kicked out. Lord, what's going on? Why me? But 12 months from now, from that time, that period, start of that long and turbulent period, I can honestly say, looking back, it was the best thing that God did for me. Yeah, there were times when I was prone to be upset. But God was there, and the lessons I learned, I wouldn't trade for anything. And so, you know, what were the lessons? One thing I learned was that, like Margaret, like Rosemary that you've heard before you, we're not alone. And God was so gracious, he sent angels to comfort me. Who are they? They're here, I'm seeing in front of me. My friends and my family in Christ Church. You know, and in the dark of night, one night, my brother called me. It would have been 4 a.m. in the morning. But in the dark of night, He called me and gave me advice and comforted me and counseled me. And that's the kind of God we have. You know, he sends angels in the dark of night. He clears the way and guided me. And never was so true in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, when he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away." And it's true. There were so many Bible verses that I came across that God brought to mind, and David and Pam read, you know, that God just says, you know, "I'm there. I will protect." And he just surrounds us on all sides, top and bottom, with his love. You know, and that you're just walking, and he tells, you know, and he's prepared, this is our God who's prepared to tell the world, "She's my child. Nothing is going to happen. I am protecting her. She's under my wing. I will give her the glory." And I thought, wow, lessons to be learned. And there were two verses that I'd like to share with you that have become so very dear to me in all this 12 months that you know, of God teaching and guiding and testing. And they actually both come from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet that sort of ministered to the people of Israel when they were, you know, in turbulent times. They were in exile, you know. God finally lost patience with them, and they were in exile. And he thought to themselves, "Are we ever going to see the promised land again?" And in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he says to the people of Israel, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I thought, wow, he's got my life planned out for me. And the second one also from Jeremiah, when he says, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" And I thought, wow. You know, our God is a sovereign God. He is in control. You know, I can trust him. He has my life and my plans and my life goals in his hands. And, you know, and I'm going to trust in him. And there were just so many lessons that I have still got to learn. But I just believe that God is with us. God is with me. And he sometimes has to take you out of your comfort zone and just say, you know, "Trust in me. I will hold your hand." And there's just one final thought that I would like to share. I've always wondered what to say when it comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, when it says that, you know, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I thought, what do I say? What do I say when someone comes to me and says, "Why are you a Christian? You know, I haven't got a fantastic road to Damascus story. You know, but what the lesson I've learned is that God wants a relationship with me. And, you know, he will just be with me. And he will guide me. And there's just, he's a wonderful God. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pam. Pam's had a very eventful year this last year. And another person who's had a very eventful year recently is Barbara. And I just want to share with you a little bit about Barbara's story. She'd like to share with us the way in which, in the midst of the difficulties and hard times that she's encountered, she has been very aware of God's presence and his guidance and his plans, particularly God's plans. In March, Barbara went to the hospital about her knee, which had been very painful, and she was told she needed an operation. They put her on the list for surgery, or they were about to, when she had to tell them that she'd booked a holiday in July. And at that point, they said, no, they can't put her on the list for surgery until after her holiday in July. At the time, she was disappointed, and if she could have done, she would have cancelled the holiday. But it seemed a long time to wait, and it also seemed possible that a painful knee might spoil the holiday anyway. Then in May, her mother was taken into hospital for what turned out to be the last 6 weeks of her life. She went from hospital to hospice to care home. The hospital and the care home were in Huntingdon, where her mother lived, but the hospice was in Peterborough. And this, of course, meant that Barbara had to spend a lot of time going backwards and forwards to those places to visit her mother and look after all that was happening at the time. If she had cancelled her holiday and had an operation on her knee when she wanted to, she really would not have been able to do any of that travelling, and she wouldn't have been able to take care of her mother when her mother needed it. As it was, she and the rest of the family were able to make sure that her mother, in fact, had somebody visiting her every day of the last few weeks of her life. Her mother was sent to the hospice when the doctors thought that she was about to die. She was well cared for there, so well cared for, in fact, that after about 2 or 3 weeks, she claimed to be feeling so much better she wanted to go home. And obviously, that wasn't going to be possible because she still needed 24-hour care. But because she'd rallied so much, the hospice then decided that she was no longer ill enough to be there. And so they insisted that she should be moved out into a care home. And this was again upsetting and very difficult for the family to arrange at that point. And in fact, as it worked out, it meant that her mother was actually moved into the care home just for the last week of her life. And again, it seemed that the timing was all wrong. However, when her mother actually passed away, she was in the care home, she was back in Huntingdon, and therefore closer and much better for the family to visit. Also, they were able to be with her in a private room. The staff looked after them wonderfully, provided cups of tea and food and everything to make sure that the whole experience was as good and peaceful as it could possibly be. And in all respects, the care home did actually prove to be a much better place and a much better setting and circumstances for the end of her mother's life. Finally, the timing was then such that Barbara could be involved in making all the arrangements for the funeral, go and have her holiday, come back, and the funeral was just after she returned. Looking back over these past few months, Barbara realized that everything had worked out for the very best in God's perfect timing. It was very different to the way in which she and the family might have planned things, but God's plan proved to be the best for Barbara and the best for everybody else involved. Just as Pam also learnt from God's plans for her. And now we're going to hear briefly first from Sunda and then from Marion.
Hello, everyone. Isn't God good all the time? God is good and God is good all the time. Surely God is good to all of us. And if it was not for the love and the compassion and the goodness of God, I'm sure none of us are going to be here this morning. I'm going to share a small testimony of what God did in our lives several years ago. My wife Sheila and myself, we were in Bible school in Osham, and it was 1 week into our studies, and that particular Sunday, Sheila and myself, we were at the church, and in the middle of the service, the offering was going to be taken, and as the offering was going to be taken, we were seated in the fourth row, and I could very well hear a whisper in my ears. And what I heard was, open your wallet and take out everything in your wallet and drop it in the offering bag. Now, we are new to this country. We don't have any friends. And it was winter time. And we need to buy warm clothes. And if I told that to Sheila, who was standing next to me, she might think, oh, this man is foolish. What is he trying to do? You know, we need to buy warm clothes. We need to have money with us to buy food and stuff. So I was wondering what to do. And as time went on, you know, the offering bag was coming closer and closer. And now the offering bag has come to the third row. And then I looked at my wife. I wanted to tell her that I heard a whisper like this and I wanted to share with her. So as I looked this way, she looked at me and she said, Sundar, I want you to open your wallet and drop everything that in your wallet into the offering bag. I mean, it was surprising. You know? Anyway, we obeyed the Lord and we opened our wallet and dropped everything that was in the wallet into the offering bag. And Sheila did the same. Now, nobody knew this and we never shared this with anyone. We kept it a secret between us and the Lord. Now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was cold. We didn't have a single penny, no coffee, no tea, nothing. Of course, we had a lunch and dinner in the college. But apart from that, we didn't have any other extra money for our expenses. Now, we just kept trusting God, and we knew that God, if God has told us to do this, that God will meet our need. We didn't put a sad face. We were happy, joyful, like all the other students. On Thursday, after the college was over, we went to our room. So we opened the door, and then we saw a white envelope beneath the door. And I took out the envelope and it says, to Sundar and Sheila. No stamp, no address, no sender's name. Anyway, we opened the envelope and to our surprise, there was money 10 times of what we had put into the offering bag. God met our need, and ever since then we have seen the hand of God in our lives. All glory and honor to God. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sundar. I think Sundar knows that the offering will follow shortly. But just before that, Marion's going to come and share us a little bit of her story.
I just said to Sylvia, I can't top that one, but Sylvia asked me to speak a little bit about my experiences when I went into hospital this year. When I went into University College Hospital, London, in the middle of January for a major operation, I had no idea of the rough ride I was going to have afterwards, but I didn't worry about things. I'm not a worrier about big things. I worry about tiny, stupid little things. And perhaps we're all like that. I woke up 24 hours later in intensive care and was told the operation had to be abandoned because I'd lost so much blood. It was touch and go as to whether I would pull through. In the first week, I felt so awful that I wished I hadn't pulled through because I felt so ill. Even so, at no time did I ever say to myself, why me? I thought, it's going to be somebody. Why should I be excluded? Somebody's going to be ill. It's the way of the world. I did wonder what God wanted me to make of the situation, however, and tried to work out what good could come out of it. And you've got an awful lot of time to think when you're lying in a hospital bed for 6 weeks. The knowledge that a great many people were praying for me, both here and further afield, gave me the inspiration to pick myself up and carry on. Also, the support from everybody that I knew was absolutely amazing. I didn't feel alone, and it made all the difference in the world. I had cards and messages from people I didn't realize even knew I was in the hospital. So God obviously has a very good bush telegraph. Also, the skill and dedication of the staff was amazing. I wish I could say the same about the food. However, when I went to the hospice in Hampstead for 3 weeks to be built up, I thought I'd gone to heaven when I saw and sampled the wonderful food. Until I went into University College Hospital, I didn't realise how much good work the hospices do and how much their work has expanded to do respite care. Marie Curie was like a hotel, but with doctors and nurses. Again, people from church came to see me, and I was able to keep up to date with all the church news. Those 3 weeks made all the difference, and it was obviously God's way of building me up for coming home. My flat had been looked after, my post and telephone calls sorted, and my finances were kept ticking over. Although I'm no further forward physically in many ways, as the surgeon says he doesn't want to operate again in case the same thing happens, the chemotherapy, which followed, has been absolutely wonderful, and I'm feeling much stronger at the moment. I've got back to church, where I thought perhaps I never would, and I'm back at Friendship Club. I've also been able to travel to meet friends again, which I thought I never would. Some Christians have the attitude life should always run smoothly, and they lose their faith if it doesn't. However, God doesn't promise us that everything is going to be rosy, but he does promise to be with us through thick and thin. Our part is to trust and be positive. The rest is up to him. And I would ask you to continue to pray for me, as I'm sure all your prayers have made me feel so much better. And as everybody has said, this prayer is absolutely vital. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, a very big thank you to all those people who've shared something of their own Christian life story with us this morning. Some of those stories are not so easy to share as others, but it's really good to be encouraged by each other and to have the stories which remind us that God knows each one of us really intimately. It's as God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God's known us from the very beginning of our lives, and he promises us, as he promised Isaiah, I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age, I made you and I care for you. We can know God's presence with us and rely on his love and his care for us. And we will be most aware of God's presence if we do as Proverbs advises us and reminds us, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first. Even so, we're not told that life is going to be easy. Again, as Isaiah said, the Lord will make you go through hard times, but he himself will be there to teach you. God promises us his presence and his help all through our lives when we put him first and when we really seek to follow his plans for us. As we look for God's plans for us in our lives, he also promises us, I will instruct you and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. And then we can live secure in the knowledge that this God is our God forever and ever. He will lead us for all time to come. So what more could we possibly need?